gave a speech in Montreal to outline his priorities in an increasingly volatile world. He says no one should think that relations have returned to normal in China just because of the level of cooperation between nations on the novel coronavirus outbreak. The road circling the Ontario legislature was shut down for a mass protest by thousands of teachers. They're staging a one-day province-wide strike to put bargaining pressure on the government. From the Canadian Press, I'm Emily Dravesky.
All right, check with the old hawk weather. For Saturday, 4 is the high we're looking for. And a mix of sun and cloud. And for Sunday, 5 in the mix of sun and clouds. There you go. Tonight getting down to low minus 5 when you're hopping around Hamilton, the greater Hamilton area. But right now, downtown Hamilton, it's 0, wind chill minus 7. That's not too bad. We are just going along. 3:30, we'll do the 3 for 30 repeat. An encore performance, if you will. And it'll be my buddy Greg Vickers. We'll air his, and I'll have a whole... air his. There we go. And I'll have like a whole batch of new ones coming up in the next couple shows, because I got to keep recording, that sort of thing. Hey, so if you want to be a part of the 3 for 30, contact me at steelcitymusic.ca. Hey, Gunnar, I'd like to do a half-hour recording with you talking about three songs that have affected me in my life that are attached to specific memories, and I'd like to share that with everyone. And we'll do it. We'll set it up, because I can do all those fun things. You know what I mean? Sufjan Stevens is one of my favorite artists. A little Chicago action for you right now on Steel City Music.
Go, drove to Chicago. All things know. We sold our clothes to the state. I don't mind, I don't mind. I made a lot of mistakes in my mind. Slept in parking lots. I don't mind, I don't mind. I was in love with a place in my mind, in my mind. I made a lot of mistakes in my mind, in my mind. You came to take us. Crying in the van with my friend, it was for freedom from myself and from the land. I made a lot of mistakes. 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 You came to take us. All things go, all things go. To recreate us. All things grow, all things grow. We had a mindset. All things know, all things know. You had to find it. All things grow, all things grow.
Thank you.
Welcome back to another edition of the 3 for 30 on Steel City Music. Your host, Gunnar, here, and my special guest on this episode is Greg Vickers, longtime producer of Afternoons in Stereo, and new producer and his new project, All Oceans End. As he takes a sip of beer, he leans into the microphone. Greg, welcome to the show.
I was leaning in to say, congratulations, you got it right.
Yes, we are actually recording. I'm not actually doing this on the phone anymore. I decided to bring my gear over to Greg's man cave, I guess. Is that what we're calling this place?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, okay, get it in the microphone if you're going to talk. Don't piss around here.
I'm just trying to get a sip of beer, so would you keep talking, please?
Drink your beer.
Yeah, and we're back.
Okay, so what are your three songs for this episode?
Okay, so I was thinking about this, and, you know, it dawned on me that, like, you know, when you're choosing songs that have, like, a specific meaning to you or memory attached, right, it's amazing how many of them go back to your youth. And so I was thinking, you know what, I'm going to go back, like, right almost back to the beginning. So I'm going to choose a song that's from the first album I ever bought. Then I'm going to choose a song that has a very good story attached to it and is also, like, has a lot of personal meaning for me. And the final song is one that I have a close association with an individual in particular. So okay. The three songs. So the first one is off of Fly By Night by Rush, which is the first album I ever bought when I was about 9 years old. And the song's called Anthem. And the second song is The Great Gig in the Sky by Pink Floyd from Dark Side of the Moon.
That's a great choice.
It is. And you can't argue with that song, right? It was down to that or Us and Them, both like songs that I absolutely adore, and I went with Great Gig. And the last song is called The Big Music by The Waterboys.
Oh, okay, great. Okay, so tell me about the first song. How does this it's the from the first album you say you bought?
It's from the first full LP that I bought. I actually momentarily considered going with the first 45 that I ever bought, or like 7-inch.
Right.
But it's We Are Family by Sister Sledge.
That's a great track, too.
It is a great song, I know. But
so what's wrong with that?
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought, you know what, why don't you just go with the first album you ever bought? Because okay. I actually have a lot more, Rush as a band has a lot more placement in my personal musical history.
So why
Sister Sledge does.
Okay, so like why this song? What particular memory, special memory or bond that you have with this song?
Where it's really, it's just like, and I'm sure you remember this, like, you know, when you're a kid, you know, back when we were young, showing our age, you know, a new album was $7.99, $8.99.
Sure, yeah, I guess
right?
So, yeah.
When you're 9 years old, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of saving up, you know, and you're going to commit to buying an album. And I had never bought an album. So I'm like, what's the first album I'm going to buy? So I went to Miracle Mart on Upper James.
You're in Hamilton, Ontario.
I'm in Hamilton, yeah. So if anyone's a Hamiltonian listening, and I'm sure you are, most of you, then there used to be a department store called Miracle Mart, which was on the corner of Mohawk and Upper James.
Sure, yeah.
And
yeah.
It was just an old school department store. Sold, they had a pet section, you know, sold posters and records and clothes and the rest of it. So I went there with the firm intention of buying 2112 by Rush. I had saved up my money, I'd heard this record, and I was, you know, eager to buy this album by this band that I was blown away by. And I got there, and they were sold out of it. They didn't have it. And I was so disappointed that I bought Fly By Night, also by Rush. So the first album I ended up buying wound up being the second Rush album. So it came out before 2112. And I didn't know anything off of it. I didn't know any songs from it. And I loved it. As a kid, like when I was 9 years old, I was big into Rush from about 9 to about 12 or 13. And Fly By Night just, you know, that album just really did it for me. And that song, Anthem, which is the first song on the album, it's got such great playing on it. That was the first album with Neil Peart, right? So he had taken over from the drummer who was on the first album. And it's still, you know, if you know, I don't think we've ever talked about Rush. Are you a Rush fan?
I enjoy Rush just as much as everyone. I mean, Subdivisions was one of my favorite songs.
There you go.
When I was younger, you know, it resonated with me. But
yeah.
I mean, this is more about you and in regards to this Anthem song. As a child,
you had great joy in buying this album.
I did.
I'm sure you played it a lot, but was there a specific memory that's attached to it, like a story with that?
Well, that was the story of buying the first album, right? That's the story associated with it. Do you want to do another take of this recording?
No, this is absolutely perfect.
The story sucks. I thought that was enough of the story, buying the first album and, you know, and putting on the first track.
But that's fine. If you put the track on, you know, if you want me to edit this, but what I'm saying is that it's the first time
we're going to go raw. We're going to get into it.
If you want to get into it, the fact that you played it and it's like, does it invoke a memory of your childhood with your father or your mother?
Did
your friends enjoy it? Did they even know what you were doing?
These are musical memories. These are memories associated with music. So in regards to Rush, it's like, you know, music plays such a huge part of my life and has since I was a kid. And this is the beginning of that journey. This is the first step. You've bought your first album with your own money. You've gone. I mean, prior to that, I'm sitting and flipping through record racks and I'm looking at record covers. I don't know what these bands are. I don't know what this music sounds like. I don't even know how to categorize this music. Now I bring home this band, who I'm proud to say is a Canadian band. I bring it home. I put on side A, track one, and it's Anthem. And for me, the story is that's where my world opens up.
And that's where we're going to play Anthem right now here in the 3 for 30 from Rush. We'll be right back. Okay, so we started the show off with Anthem from Fly By Night from Rush.
Right.
And this is your awakening to music. This is the journey as a person who enjoys music as much as you do. And I've known you for some time, and our other in our friend group will say that, you know, Greg is a musicologist. He believes, lives, and bleeds music. That's his thing. So what is your second track? Where does that go from a nine-year-old to listening to Rush to this next act?
Okay, so interestingly, and it was around the same time, and this is the story. So just to clarify. So I wanted to buy my sister, 5 years older than me, also loved music, and I wanted to buy her an album for her birthday.
Trooper.
she wishes I bought her Hot Shots. No, and so it's 1979, right? And Another Brick in the Wall is huge.
Okay.
She asks, you know, she tells me, like, I want Pink Floyd. Oh. Right?
Sure.
Okay. So, you know, I'm saving up my money for my allowance and stuff to buy my sister this album for her birthday. I go to the record store. I didn't know anything about Pink Floyd. The Wall is a double album. I didn't have enough money.
What was it? Do you remember how much it was back then?
Probably like $14.99, $16.99.
Well, that
maybe.
Only makes sense if we were talking about the other albums we've been saying. Yeah. Sure, like a double album. Yeah.
So, you know, and my sister's birthday was like 2 days from, you know, I'm in the store. It's 2 days from now. What am I going to do? You know?
You stole it.
I didn't. No. I looked over and there's this other album by Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon. And I'm like, well, she likes Pink Floyd, so I'll just get her that. So I bought her that album and gave it to her. And being a teenage girl, my sister was like, it doesn't have the song I like on it, so screw you. she basically gave me a thanks, and it got discarded. So I put it on, and right. I started to listen to it. So, like I venture, anybody who's ever put on Dark Side of the Moon, you're blown away, right? I mean, sure. That is one of the ultimate sonic soundscapes, you know? I mean, and if you're a kid and you hear that record, it just draws you in. Whether you know how to vocalize or explain or even intellectualize, you know, what you're listening to, that album is just super powerful. So you get to the end of side one and you reach this largely instrumental track called The Great Gig in the Sky. Great title. I'm a little kid. I'm thinking like, wow, what is this Great Gig in the Sky? And that song for me really was like the first time I'd ever heard instrumental music, because there is vocals in it, but she's doing like her it's like wordless vocals where she's imitating an instrument rather than singing anything specific.
That's right.
Or even phrasing, yeah, like normal verse chorus type phrasing, you know. She is just ad-libbing, right? And if you know the story about her, the singer that they hired was just an accountant at Abbey Road that they brought in for the session, paid her a lump sum, and off she went. She didn't even know who Pink Floyd was. So that song, when I heard it, I just like, you know, I didn't know rock bands could do that. You know, I didn't know that a band could, you know, go to such highs that you get elsewhere on that record and then come to this song and everything drops down into this mellow space where it just becomes about mood and emotion. Mm-hmm. And for me as a musician, I look at that song and I realize that affected me in a profound way in terms of understanding how to use very simple chord sequences and very simple punctuation to be able to, you know, emote, you know. And I think that song is like one of the great songs in the rock pantheon that emotes. It just, I think everyone who hears that, like, it's you feel it in your gut, you feel it in your heart, you know, you feel it in your soul. And for me, it's one of the most beautiful songs ever written by a rock band, you know. And so that's why it's song number two.
And the song is
The Great Gig in the Sky
on the 3 for 30.
Thank you.
Okay, so we started with the beginning as a 9-year-old, the awakening of music, and we go into the middle part, the gift by accident to your sister, and then that's another awakening, a second awakening, if you will, into your musical journey.
That's right.
How are you closing this out with your third song?
So the third song isn't as much about a musical awakening. It is more, I chose it. I got to be honest. Like I was thinking about whether or not I wanted to choose three songs that kind of tied in thematically or musically, and I just decided that this last song just feels like this is the right time to talk about this song, which is The Big Music by the Waterboys from their album A Pagan Place, which came out in 1984. This is an album I heard when it first came out. This is a song that I responded to immediately. If you know anything about the Waterboys, and I think they're unfortunate. A band that's kind of been lost in the mists of time, largely. I think there's old geezers like us who remember the Waterboys, but I think most kids would not know who that band was.
That's a lot of music that came out in the 80s. Yeah. That it's hard for the newer generation to discover it because it's...
Yeah. It's decades and decades ago.
It's too far gone, yeah.
Right. So so this song for me, a very close friend of mine passed away recently, and this song had a very special meaning for me and him. And it might sound silly, but, you know, when we were young, we were in our 20s, he lived around the corner from me. So at the end of the night, you know, after closing time, you stumble out to a cab. We'd get the cab back to his house, which was just 2 minutes away from my house. And inevitably, you know, go in, have another beer or two. And this song was a song that we always put on. Him and I put this song on, cranked it up really loud, and it's a very powerful song. And it it has these gorgeous horns, which at the time, at that age, I wasn't listening to a lot of, like now I listen to a lot of jazz and stuff, but back then I didn't listen to a lot of music with horns, certainly not rock music with horns. And if I did, it's the 80s, it's like Psychedelic Furs or Duran Duran or something,
or it's a
right?
sample off of a keyboard, really,
yeah, or whatever, right? Yeah. Like, but this was a proper, you know, when you hear the song, there's a proper horn blast in this song. But I also wanted to choose the song because not only does it remind me of my friend, but it also, the lyrics are beautiful. The lyrics are very much about Mike Scott from the Waterboys discovering his musical muse. So the song's called The Big Music, and he's talking about how when he heard the sound that he was going for in his head, when he heard it, when he harnessed it, you know, he knew that he'd arrived. He felt alive. But if you read the lyrics or you listen to the lyrics, you can also sort of interpret the fact that, like, there's a notion that the big music is almost like faith. It's almost like, just knowing that there's more to existence, more outside of you that you can tune into or tap into. And given that my friends just passed away, like, I thought that was, I'm going to get a little choked up here. I thought that was appropriate. It made me feel sad when I first listened to this song and thought of him. And then when I really thought about the lyrics and stuff, I was comforted by it. I was actually...
Right. It's good, though.
Yeah.
It's a very good feeling when you can take comfort in something that you shared with somebody, and it's never a sad moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just feel uplifted.
If you can flip a memory,
yep,
or flip a circumstance,
oh, absolutely,
and look at it from a different way,
yep,
it can wind up being like something that you didn't expect.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And that's, I think that's the kind of the power that music has. Even when I just started this, doing this segment, is just some people realizing when they're picking their songs, it's like, this song helped me through a very hard time.
Yeah.
When I hear this song, it gives me a warm memory of someone who's not around anymore. And sometimes you need that.
Yeah.
Because if you don't get those feelings once in a while, the world can be a very lonely place. And sometimes you need to have those really good memories kick back through music.
Yeah. And much as it can hurt sometimes,
sure,
especially,
yeah,
when it's new, like it is, like my friend only passed away less than a month ago,
yep,
you know, it can also, there's a feeling of catharsis that comes out of it,
sure,
and because it's an old memory from when I was a kid, it also just, like, it harnesses a certain nostalgia I have for my friendship with that person,
yeah, and that
and
time
it
yeah,
embodies that,
yeah.
That sounds cheesy or whatever.
No, that's hey man, it's your song, it's your memory, it's a good feeling, right?
Yeah.
And then the song from the Waterboys.
The Big Music.
The Big Music. Greg, thanks for taking the time to
thanks for asking
for
me.
Doing this. And here's The Big Music from the Waterboys here on the 3 for 30.